For our scripture reading this afternoon, let's turn to the second epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 3. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 16, reading through verse 5 of chapter 4. This is the word of our Lord. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they would not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. We pray that you speak to us this afternoon through it. For asking in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We have grown used to have preaching in our church. That seems to be that's how things have always been. And sometimes we may not even question ourselves, why do we have preaching? Well, the reason we have preaching in our service as part of the worship service is because the Word of God tells us to do so. It might be considered an outdated sort of idea. Why just have a guy up front speaking, everybody paying attention to that, or just that is being in the room for that? Why do that? Why not do something different, more like dynamic, something like drama? Some, you know, maybe have like Nick Newton and Nick Anderson do some sort of choreography here as part of the yes, there we go, the worship service. And why not? Doing, why not that? I think we can all imagine some reasons for that, especially if it involved leotards. Don't want that. But the reason really is that God speaks. That's why we have preaching. In creation and redemption, God speaks. He spoke creation into existence. And Paul grabs onto that in 2 Corinthians and then says that he also redeemed his people by the power of his word. Let there be light, and people were saved as well. Throughout the Old Testament, we have the testimony of God saying, thus says the Lord, is a spoken word that is used to minister to God's people. When God wanted to give an illustration of how he brings people to life, he takes Ezekiel to the Valley of Dry Bones and tells Ezekiel to speak to the dry bones. There, if you think, and life came in that way, which is much like what preaching is, as some have said, is preaching is a dying man preaching to dying people, because God instituted that for us to do. We have, there were other modes of communication. I'm not joking, but drama was a common medium of communication. Singing was a common medium of communication. All kinds of things were used, and yet God chose the speaking of his word to be the central part of the life of his church. And it's true back then, and it's true today as well. God knew what technologies were going to develop. God knew what things were going to be available 2,000 years, 4,000 years, a million years in the future if our Lord doesn't return. He knew, he knows all that, and yet he appointed the preaching of his word, and we cannot outdo God in when he appoints the preaching of his word. And why is it that he appoints the preaching of his word? Because the Bible itself is God speaking. When in verse 16 says all scripture is inspired or breathed out, the idea of breathing out is speaking. God spoke all the words that we have in our Bible. from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is God speaking, not somebody else. Not only the concepts, but also the very words used. It is often, not often, but we see several times arguments being made, a theological argument being made in the New Testament because of a single letter of the Old Testament. See that in Galatians, for example, when Paul says God did not say seeds, but seed. Just the difference of a plural and a singular. And Paul builds a whole argument based on that. So the very words that we have are spoken by God. And when we preach the Bible, the act of preaching itself is God speaking to us. The Reformers understood that in the emphasis in the preaching. Our confession says that it is in the reading of the Word, but especially in the preaching of the Word, that grace is dispensed, grace made available to God's people. Do you understand that nowhere in the Bible commands you to have daily devotions? I double dared my class on Friday night, and nobody took the double dare. But I dare you to find a passage that says, that commands you to have daily devotions. But the Bible commands you to be in the Lord's house to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Now, don't go home saying, Pastor said I don't have to read my Bible at home. I'm not saying that. But I want you to think more highly of what we're doing on the Lord's Day. When the word of God is proclaimed, the Spirit of God uses that word in a way that's different than when we're just by ourselves reading our Bibles and praying together. And so the Word of God is spoken by God. Is God speaking to us? I think of Steve Lawson that said something, if you want to hear God speak to you, read the Bible aloud. That's exactly what happens when we read the Bible. It's God's word to us. And it is profitable. It's good for us to have the word of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. And that's a particular goal to it, so that the man of God may be complete. That's primarily a reference to the pastor, but also it applies to the people. That is through the word of God that we're made complete for what? Equipped thoroughly for every good work. Good work is obedience to the Bible. It is the Bible itself that equips us to obedience to God. It is in the Bible that we find what God wants us to do. It is through the Bible that we're empowered to do what God calls us to do. So in verse 1 of chapter 4, Paul puts Timothy under an oath saying that you must preach the Bible. Timothy seems to have been a very timid guy. Perhaps the fear of man was an issue. Perhaps he had a hard time saying what he needed to say from the Word of God. So Paul says in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. In essence, Paul is saying, Timothy, are you afraid of what people might think of you? Are you afraid of saying things that might upset people? Guess what? Your judge is going to be God. He is the one that at the end of the time is going to judge you for what you preach. So preach the words. Not just preach, but preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Some of you know who Ed Crawford was a BP pastor for years. He's gone to be with the Lord. But he often would say, there's only two times that a pastor should preach. When he's in season, out of season. And this, Jason, has nothing to do with deer season. If you're wondering, that's not what's going on here. The idea of being in season or out of season is when it's convenient, when people want what you have to give them, or out of season when it's inconvenient, when people don't want to hear what we have to say. So Paul commends Timothy, and through Timothy, every pastor that names the name of Christ, to preach the word when it's convenient and when it is inconvenient. And in that preaching, he should convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? Because there's a time coming when people won't want that. Whether this time is still future to us or it is now, which seems to be the case, seems like more and more people don't want to hear the Word of God. There's a time coming when people are not going to endure sound doctrine. The out-of-season time is coming or is even upon us. And where the people of God, and look at your responsibility for the preaching. Do you see your responsibility for the preaching there in verse 3? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. That's the people in the pew. He's talking about professing Christians in the church here, not the bad world out there. According to their own, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. It is on your shoulders, congregation of Lord Jesus Christ, to make sure that the preaching from this pulpit is from the Word of God. It is according to Jesus Christ. Because when preaching that is nothing more than just scratching your ears happens, it's only happened because you want it. And if you have allowed it to happen. So not only is the preacher himself responsible for the message, but the people of God are also responsible to steward that message to make sure that that is the message that's coming forth from the pulpit of the church. And it's a sad day when the people of God themselves will turn their ears away from the truth to be turned aside to fables. And we see that happening in history time and again. It has happened several times in our country even. If you think of the Congregationalists all becoming Unitarians and liberals, when you think of the mainline denominations in the late 1800s and 1900s becoming liberals, people turn into fables. And I want you to notice that the fables here is the belief that Jesus Christ is not God, that God doesn't save, that the belief that God doesn't save. All those things are fables. Those are the mythical things. What the Bible teaches is what is true. And then Paul turns again to Timothy, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, which tells us that the preacher, if he preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, at some point in his ministry is going to have to face afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. A pastor is more than a preacher. You know, a guy that just stands and preaches is not a pastor. That's a preacher, and that's okay. There's room for that. But a pastor is not less than a preacher. And it's important that the church understands that one of the greatest ways that a pastor can love the congregation is by being ready to proclaim the Word of God to them. Now, there's more to being a pastor. Shepherding the congregation is part of being a pastor. But that is a fundamental, essential element of being a pastor, is to be able to proclaim the Word of God. And the congregation understands that's a loving thing that the pastor does to prepare to do that. So Paul exhorts Timothy, preach the word, because it is the word that's going to equip the people to do the work of the ministry. And my prayer is that as it's been for the last 6 years, for the next 6 years, this will be a congregation that desires the milk of the Word of God, a congregation that desires the expositional preaching of the Word of God, a congregation that's zealous for the proclamation of the Word of God. Because as we do that, we're going to be seeing Christ more and more every time that we gather. And more, the darkness is coming upon us. And the darker the world is there, the brighter our light will shine. As we proclaim the gospel, as we're known as a church, that doesn't matter what season it is, in season, out of season, deer season, football season, whatever season it is, the Word of God is being proclaimed in the darkness of this world. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you're good to us. We thank you for your word, and we thank you that we can have it preached to us. Continue to bless the preaching of your word in this church and every church that names the name of Jesus. We pray that you'd revive churches that refuse to preach your word. We pray that churches that have left the scriptures would be revived, brought back to the word of God. And that we'd see a great revival of solid preaching in this area, in this country, and all over the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.